Mary, Queen of Scots by Alexander McKendrick and J. Preston Allen. Adapted by Peter Ategi, Hope Dixon Leach and Lawrence Bowen.
Two clans at war, Hepburn against Douglas. Two religions in conflict, Protestant against Catholic. Two countries about to collide, England and Scotland. And at the heart of it all, Mary, Queen of Scots. She is 23. To control her and her future child is to control the future, which begins here, at a junction in the road from Dunbar to Edinburgh, on a wet and windy day in March. A party of horsemen are approaching. Closer to us is a small dry stone hut or bothy. Asleep in the corner is a man, William Maitland, Secretary of State. As the horses grow nearer, there is a whistle from further down the road, a signal to Maitland from one of his servants positioned on the route. He sits bolt upright like a man waking from a nightmare.
Is she... What's that?
Maitland gets up, moving out into the light and picking his way through nettles and brambles onto the road. Beware of Maitland. Watch him carefully as he comes up close. The party of horsemen come nearer. One of the group is very important to us, Murray, Mary's brother. He is a vain and ambitious man. To historians, he is an illegitimate Stuart who pretended to the throne. To us, therefore, he is a pretentious bastard. He was not expecting to see Maitland here on the road. And as he approaches them, Murray watches, apprehensive.
What's the matter? Nothing. Nothing. I need to talk to you. We'll get your horse then. We can talk as we go.
No. I think you should wait.
Wait? Why? Morton's men were to lock the gates at sundown. If we don't go now, we'll not be there till...
I think it would be more sensible if you were not seen in the town until tomorrow.
Why?
Rizzio's in her rooms tonight. They are going to seize him there.
I know.
It's liable to be an ugly business. She's 7 months pregnant. If it goes badly, then you must have no hand in it. She's your half-sister, your own flesh and blood. If she's hurt, then the Douglas must take the blame for it.
I told them I would be there. If I'm not...
Morton will still go through with it.
Are you sure?
Yes. He has to. His men are already moving inside the walls.
The Holyrood house of this period is less like a palace than a temporary fort. The place is dirty. Cowpats, old sacks, poverty-stricken retainers, mongrel dogs, and weather that makes the smoke from the chimney swirl around the rough and muddy courtyard. Kerr, who is conspiring with Maitland and Morton, is a rat of a man. He comes swiftly through the main gate with 4 or 5 followers and henchmen.
Tell the man to shut the gates. Shut them, are you there?
But it's not time yet.
Give us the keys, man.
I can't shut the gates when the folks are still at their suppers.
Just give us the keys.
Inside the castle, the youth pouring himself a drink is Mary's husband, Henry Darnley. He is 22. Tall and extremely good-looking, with an educated, arrogant manner. He is much better dressed than the Scotsmen in his company, who include the chief of the Douglas clan, the Earl of Morton, and another conspirator, the Earl of Ruthven, an old man risen from a sickbed to be present, feverish and drinking heavily.
First, we remove Rizzio from the company. Bring him down here. He'll get a fair hearing. She can be in...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?